The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255-458-TALK. What's on your mind about firearms today? It is another great day in Fairbanks. 28 degrees downtown here, and guess what? Snow forecast 3 inches. Do you think that's going to happen? And here at the KFAR broadcasting station, Melissa is again expertly running the board. Thank you, Melissa, and is keeping the Shooter's Corner archives up to date. So if you miss a program, you should be able to access them in the archives within a day, and I very much appreciate that because it takes extra time. Now, what is on our agenda today? First will be another complaint about the Cushman Range from me, a short person. And then we'll talk about an article on the Nazi mouse guns. And I want to let listeners know about Winchester's USA Valor Ammunition Series and the organization it supports, Folds of Honor. And most importantly, I want to let everyone know that Glenn Miller will be holding his Glenn Miller's Reloading Bench program next Thursday, September 30th on Shooter's Corner. Now, Glenn plans to talk about a new progressive reloading press that will hit the market sometime early 2022. He thinks it might give Dillon some good competition, as the new press will have great features for a competitive price. And Glenn will also talk about brass annealing, how to do it, why, and what the benefits are. And Glenn talks about everything reloading and more. If you have any questions at all about reloading or guns in general, call in while Glenn Miller is on the program next week. Also, the TVSA 2021 Fall Gun Show is Saturday and Sunday, October 9 and 10, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, and until 4 p.m. on Sunday. It will be held at the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association Clubhouse and Range, their own building. It's 1230 TVS Way. And remember, the gun show raises funds for youth shooting and competitive shooting activities and promotes education of Alaskans in the safe handling of firearms. So let's have a big turnout for the TVSA 2021 Fall Gun Show. Now, before we get into our main subjects for today, I have another complaint report about the Cushman Range, mine. I was there on Saturday and Sunday breaking in the barrel on my new Christensen Ridgeline, and so far I am very happy with that rifle, but I'll keep you updated the more I work with it. My complaint has something to do with being a short person. I am 5'2". And on Saturday, we parked by the far end of the covered rifle area by the trees and set up on the third firing point table. And I usually shoot down on the other end, or if it's cold outside of the covered area where I can get some warmth from the sun. But Saturday, I parked at the third firing point table from the treed end under the covered rifle area. And once the sled was on the table, I mounted my rifle on it. And either the table was higher than normal or I shrunk for the day. My eyes came up to about the height of the stock on the sled. No way could I even see through the scope. So a few weeks ago, when I was out there with the 7mm Christensen, I was about in the middle of that covered rifle area and the table was lower, but if I sat on the stool, I was not high enough to shoot off the rifle rests. I had to stand. So on Sunday, with this strange phenomena, I started measuring all the tables against my shooting sticks. And this information is for all of us who are short. The tables on the rifle area, not under the canopy, are good for my size height people. The tables on the far side in the other direction under the canopy are only good for really tall people. There's quite a difference in inches between how high those tables are from one end of the rifle area to the other. And if you stand back and look at the row of tables, you can see this. But I never thought to do that. And I don't know if it has to do with how high or how long the legs are on the tables, or if perhaps there's just more gravel built up under the tables that appear shorter. But my tip for the day is if you're very tall or very short and the firing point table is uncomfortable, try moving to one end of the other or the other of the rifle range section. Okay, we have a caller. Caller, you are on the air.
Good morning, Laura. This is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
I have experienced that problem on a fairly regular basis. And what I did is I went to the Music Mart.
Okay.
and I bought the least expensive drummer's throne I could find.
Oh, okay.
That has a pretty good height adjustment in it, and that seemed to cure the problem. So it's not an inexpensive solution, but it is a solution.
Well, thank you for telling me that. So it's a drummer's throne. I'm going to look into that because it's really uncomfortable and hard to do what you need to do. Obviously couldn't shoot off the sled, I started with the sticks. And I mean, after 13 shots, my shoulder, I'm never going to get through 25 or 50 of these things. It's really frustrating.
Well, there's also another upside. The drummer's throne has a padded stool.
Oh, it's padded. Okay.
He's onto something. Way to go, Ron.
Yeah. Okay, Melissa knows what you're talking about. So, okay.
Prevents flattening out of body parts.
Okay. That's good. I need all those body parts.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye. Okay, we got the solution, a drummer's throne. I'm definitely going to get one of those. Okay, and I have one more short complaint. And what is it with people carrying uncased rifles from their vehicles to the firing points while pointing the muzzle at those of us that are at the firing line? There was quite a bit of that when I was there last weekend. So you're always welcome to call Shooter's Corner with your Cushman Range observations. So I have a few fun holidays to talk about this September. September 23rd. The first is National Snack Stick Day. And what would a snack stick be? Well, this is a free, unsolicited plug for a fairly new store in town, Tony G's Meat and Sausage on Pegger Road. They're at 3290 Pegger Road, Suite C, between Van Horn Road and 30th Avenue. It's next to and on the same side of the street as Alyeska Tire. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 6, and they have a website, TommyG'sAlaska.com, and you can see their menu and learn about them. They have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, and there are lots of really delicious, great photos on their Instagram page. And they advertise themselves as a premier meat and sausage retail store. And they do not know I'm talking about their product, but I just have to share this with you. I've tried two of their snack stick type delights. One is their beef jerky made with top or eye of round, and it's absolutely delicious. It's not too spicy, just a little bit of spice, and you'll crave it once you taste it. And the other product I was fond of, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, is their Landjäger, which is hunter sausage. And this is a little milder than the beef jerky, but it's still tangy enough to make you crave it. And they have lots of other products and cuts of meat. And I remember some years ago we had a meat store in Fairbanks, but it didn't stay in business long. And I would sure like Tommy G's to stick around. So I plan to buy from him, and I will definitely give his beef jerky and Landjäger hunter sausages packages as gifts. Now, today is also Remember Me Thursday. And what should we remember today? Pets. I'm sure many of us on Shooter's Corner love our pets, but there are many dogs and cats that need a home. And Remember Me Thursday is celebrated by, quote, lighting candles to light up the world for pet orphans, in an effort to help others see the light about pet adoption so that orphan pets won't be ignored. And one of the events that, unquote, one of the events that happens during Remember Me Thursday each year is that the Rescue Pet Hero Award is given out. And the award recognizes a pet that does something memorable. Google this, the Rescue Pet Hero Award, and find the bios of all the past pets who have received the award, as well as pictures and bios on the pets for this year's 2021 award. And you can go to herodogawards.org and vote online for the dog you want to receive the award this year. And there's a military dog, a therapy dog, a service dog, a search and rescue dog, a shelter dog, and a law enforcement and detection dog up for winning the prize this year. And many of these dogs who have received awards in the past or who are up for awards this year came from abusive or less than ideal circumstances. So good care and a loving owner allow these special dogs to be bright lights for their communities, just like the candles that are lit on Remember Me Thursday. And we're going to go to our first break. We'll talk around the corner.
Enough winters in Alaska, you learn about keeping up with your vehicle's maintenance. Let Rogers Auto Repair help. From tune-ups to winterizing, Rogers is your complete auto shop. Even engine and transmission rebuilds are done right there. They're still helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. Family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665. Be their next satisfied customer. Rogers Auto Repair.
While you're out enjoying the beautiful colors of the changing seasons, you know it's coming. A few crisp mornings, then boom! Oh yeah, winter never asks permission to sneak in a hard frost. Have you winterized your RV yet? Schedule it now with Arctic RV for their complete winterization package. Your RV is protected all season long for peace of mind and no unnecessary spring repairs. Prices start at only $125. At 30th and Pegger, rough it in style, Arctic RV.
Hey, it's Steve from Auto Trim Design here. The termination dust is in the hills and soon will again become the great frozen north. Is your rig ready for 40 below? Auto Trim Design can help you survive with heated seats to warm your buns, running boards to save your shins, auto starts for automatic and manual transmission vehicles. So see us today at Auto Trim Design, Fairbanks Auto Start Specialist for over three decades.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Alignments protect your vehicle's steering system as it extends the life of your tires. Book yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy today with highs around 41. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow tonight. Lows dip down to about 29. Cloudy skies expected. Snow likely again tomorrow, 36. Cloudy skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow tonight through Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 29 degrees.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK, and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. And I want to let you know that I was going to do a section on air rifles for this program, and the 177s are okay, the 22s are okay, and then I got into looking at and researching some of the large caliber ones that you can shoot large game with. And I decided I didn't know enough to talk about those intelligently. When I read that you can shoot large or dangerous game with these large caliber air rifles, but you'd better have a centerfire backup, I'm thinking maybe that's not something you want to use. But if any of our listeners have any experience with those types of large caliber air guns, let me know. I would love to have you as a guest on the program. I would like someone to talk about it who has experience rather than just what I'm reading or researching. So moving on here, the November-December issue of American Handgunner magazine had an article titled "Nazi Mouse Guns, Carry Pistols for History's Most Ghastly Villains," and it was by Will Dabbs, M.D. And one of the photo captions reads, "The Germans used a bewildering array of handguns during the war." The article caught my attention with its gripping first paragraph hook, and I thought I would share the contents of that article with you. Quote, Claus Philippe Maria Justinian Schenk Graf von Stauffenberg was old German aristocracy. His hereditary titles included Graf, which is Count, and Schenk, which is cupbearer. Von Stauffenberg was born in the Stauffenberg Castle, the third of four sons. The Stauffenberg bloodline was one of the most storied in Germany. A devout Catholic who gravitated towards National Socialism, when he thought it was the vehicle to lift post-World War I Germany out of its economic and political mire, he soon became disillusioned. The Night of the Long Knives and the Kristallnacht, along with systematic oppression of the Jews, gradually turned von Stauffenberg against the Nazis and the deranged Austrian corporal who led them, unquote. Now, von Stauffenberg fought with the Wehrmacht during the invasion of Poland and France. He earned the Iron Cross, first class for that. He participated in Operation Barbarossa, the German invasion of Russia in 1941. In 1942, he was in Tunisia with Rommel's Afrika Corps. And Stauffenberg's column was strafed by Australian P-40 Kitty Hawks in April of 1943, and he was severely injured in that attack. He lost his left eye, his right hand, and two fingers from his left hand. And to give us a flavor of his personality, quote, he later joked with friends, he never really knew what to do with so many fingers when he still had them, unquote. When von Stauffenberg recovered, he was posted to the Ersatzheer, and anyone's welcome to correct my German pronunciation, in Berlin. And it was this group's job to provide replacement troops to frontline units attrited in action. So the article notes, quote, this turned out to be an optimal position from which to foment a coup. Von Stauffenberg teamed with fellow conspirators, and the plan was to place two small bombs in a briefing room when Hitler was present during a briefing with his generals at Wolfschanze, which was Hitler's East Prussian headquarters. And von Stauffenberg was short on time and struggled to arm both bombs because he had only three functioning fingers. And he was able to get only one of the devices activated before he had to place the briefcase. And we all know the story. The briefcase was moved innocently behind a heavy leg of the briefing table, and that is what saved Hitler from being killed. When von Stauffenberg returned to Berlin, his plan was to activate the remaining part of the coup. But when the conspirators heard that Hitler was only injured, not killed, they knew they had failed. And here's a quote. Hitler loyalists pursued von Stauffenberg and his co-conspirators to the Ersatzheer offices and engaged in a fierce but brief shootout with their handguns, wherein the count was wounded in the shoulder, unquote. And what does this have to do with the Nazi mouse guns? Well, it's about the gun that von Stauffenberg carried during the final shootout before he was arrested. Here's a quote from the article. The Nazis gifted the world with some of the most effective weapons in military history up to that point. The transoceanic U-boat, the V-2 ballistic missile, the ME-262 jet fighter, which is the Messerschmitt, and the Tiger tank were all apex predators for their class at the time, unquote. Will Dabbs, the author, says that for all Germany's powerful weapons at the time, quote, the typical sidearms carried by most of Germany's most revered leaders were ridiculously pitiful, unquote. And we all know that the 45 ACP model 1911 A1 used by our American forces during World War II was, here's a quote, hands down the most powerful combat handgun of the war. Loud, heavy, rugged, and mean. The model 1911 was much like the country that birthed it, unquote. Yet it was common for our adversaries, the Germans, to carry little mouse guns. They could carry them discreetly, but they were ineffective when put into action. So what mouse gun was von Stauffenberg shooting in that last shootout with the Nazi security forces before his arrest? Well, according to the article, it was most likely a Walther PPK. Now, Walther, the PP, stands for Polizei pistol or police pistol, which was developed in 1929. And the PPK was a derivative of that, the K standing for criminal. So it's Polizei pistol criminal. The article states, quote, the PPK was one of the few handguns in common use that could actually be employed with only three fingers, end quote. And we know that von Stauffenberg had only three fingers on his remaining hand. The Walther PPK is of Ian Fleming's James Bond fame. And the PPK was designed for concealed carry. It's a blowback operated single stack. It had seven rounds with the magazine release located underneath the right thumb. And the article states, quote, the most radical aspect of the design is its single action, double action trigger. Carl Walther designed the PP series pistols to combine the benefits of a single action, double action revolver along with the trim architecture of an autoloader, unquote. And the PPK was designed so that it could be carried safely with a round in the chamber and the hammer down. That first round has that long, heavy double action trigger pull. That's for safety. And the remaining shots are crisper and more precise in single action. And the PPK has a hammer drop safety on the slide, and this allows the user to safely deactivate the hammer over the loaded chamber. The PPK slide locks back when the last round is fired. And the article says that, quote, in a pinch, the weapon can be charged by pushing the edge of the muzzle end of the slide against a handy countertop. From that point up until the magazine runs dry, the gun can indeed be run with only three fingers, unquote. And that may be why von Stauffenberg chose that gun. And I want to stay with the mouse guns here, so I won't go into detail about von Stauffenberg's life or what happened in the aftermath of the failed coup. Other than to say he was executed by a firing squad, however, I will say it seems to me that Hitler was in the same mind as the leaders of North Korea were and purportedly still are. When one person in a family crosses the government, all of that family, including their children and sometimes other relatives, are arrested. In von Stauffenberg's case, his wife was immediately arrested and later held hostage in exchange for German property. Their children were taken to an orphanage and given different names. And I read that was likely because authorities planned to give them to different families whose names they were assigned. And in the end, von Stauffenberg's wife and children were freed. I read that within 5 hours of the failed coup, 7,000 Germans were arrested. And after time, 4,980 of those were executed. Now, another Nazi mouse gun was the Mauser HSC, and this was the Mauser answer to the Walther PPK. And the HSC stands for the German words, and I won't try to pronounce it, but in English it means self-cocking hammer. And the author of the article, Will Dabb, says of the two, the Mauser HSC is the more advanced design over the Walther PPK. And the Mauser HSC was introduced in 1940, and it uses an 8-round single-stack magazine. And Dobbs says the gun has a novel cylindrical hammer. The hammer device is, quote, an unobtrusive little tab that is easy to cock, yet doesn't catch on clothing during the draw, unquote. And this gun, like the Walther PPK, also uses single-action trigger system. And with many European design semi-auto pistols of the day, the Mauser HSC's magazine release is on the keel of the butt. And this makes releasing the magazine somewhat slower than a thumb button, like on the Walther PPK. The interesting feature on this Mauser HSC is that, as in most semi-autos, the slide locks to the rear automatically when the last round is fired, but unlike most semi-autos, when the empty magazine is dropped and a new one loaded, inserted, the slide goes back into battery on its own. And the author says, quote, there are no external switches and nothing is faster even today, unquote. Now, another of the German mouse guns is known as the H, and is the Sauer 38H, and it was produced from 1938 until the end of World War II. And the author thinks the 38H was fairly uninspired. It's a blowback design, but He points out that the trigger and safety system birthed an entire family of modern combat handguns. And the 38H had three separate controls on the left side of the gun. Both the thumb-activated magazine release and the slide-mounted safety operated in the same manner as the Walther PPK. But different, though, is that there is a manual decocking lever located on the left side above the magazine release. And here's a quote, "This pivoting lever safely decocks the action over the loaded chamber. This same feature found its way onto the Sig Sauer P220 series handguns still in production today," unquote. And according to the article, the Sauer 38H was the gun that introduced the frame-mounted decocker to the universe of combat handguns. And I recall that Joe Nava had a Sig Sauer P220 in .45 caliber. And a quick check of the Sig Sauer website says, with origins dating back to the late 70s, the P220 is considered by many to be the one that started it all for Sig Sauer. And I have to say, Joe Nava always made good choices with firearms in my opinion. Okay, we're going to go to break now. Melissa's signaling, and we'll be back around the corner.
Where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings the herd to sleep in a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings.
This is Mark Levin. Don't miss the Mark Levin Show weekdays from 3 to 6 right here on
News. I'm Steve Rappaport. President Biden's special envoy to Haiti resigns to protest the removal of Haitian migrants from a border city in Texas.
Daniel Foote says he will not be associated with what he describes as an inhumane, counterproductive decision to deport thousands of Haitians. His resignation comes after images surface of Border Patrol on horseback with reins that look like whips, reportedly mistreating Haitians.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says authorities will no longer use horses in Del Rio. An unexpected increase in weekly jobless claims.
Another 351,000 Americans filed for first-time jobless help last week. Analysts thought we'd see another near-pandemic low of around 320,000 claims. Continuing claims were 2.84 million versus the expected 2.6 million.
Fox's Lillian Wu. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports that Alaska wildlife troopers based in Soldotna received information on September 25th, 2019 at 9:30 a.m. that a hunter had shot and killed a sublegal bull moose and left the moose to waste on Hatton Road near mile 12 of Oil Well Road in Nanilchik. Several hunters were interviewed in the area and a suspect vehicle description was developed based on those interviews. It was reported that 57-year-old Fred Martin Hex of Seldovia was identified as the suspect. Troopers applied for and received a search warrant to search Hex's residence in Seldovia based on investigative leads. While serving the warrant, Hex, who admitted his involvement in the incident, allegedly panicked after seeing that he killed a sublegal moose. Charges were forwarded to the Kenai District Attorney's Office for review to be filed in Homer District Court. On August 9, 2021, Hex pled guilty in the Homer District Court to wanton waste of a big game animal. Hex was sentenced to 14 days in jail with 7 days suspended. He also received a $5,000 fine with $2,500 of that suspended.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Going camping is like visiting an old friend. There's always some new thing to experience. There's a sense of adventure that tickles your imagination, yet there's something so comfortably familiar. The smell of the crackling campfire, as sipping that first steaming cup of coffee fresh from the percolator, as you lounge in your favorite camp chair. Breathe the free air and dewdrop silence of the early morning stillness. Going camping. It's dependably familiar, always surprising. Gear up and go with Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hi, Steve at Auto Trim Design here. I'm still doing yard work, fishing in the river, and enjoying the warm weather. Yet we all know that old man winter is just around the corner. Now's the time to get your Auto Start moose lights and heated seats before the big rush at Auto Trim Design. Make an appointment today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Some people are impressionists. These guys leave an impression. Cashed out, the amazing Johnny Cash tribute band.
Because you're mine, I walk the line.
For two shows, Friday, September 24th, and Saturday, September 25th, at the Spur. Tickets available now at aktickets.com. Don't miss Cashed Out.
I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
Tickets just $25 in advance. $35 for limited VIP tickets, which includes early admission, seat preference, and meet and greet. Doors open at 6:30 for VIP, 7:30 for general admission. Brought to you by Badger Buds, Nolan Services, Fairbanks Home Source, Bud Light, and The Spur. These guys are the real deal.
Love is a burning thing.
If you love the music of Johnny Cash, then you're going to love Cashed Out.
I've been everywhere.
Cashed Out at The Spur, a must-see event.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK. Tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. And so getting back to the discussion at hand, another quote from the article about the Sauer 38H. Another novel feature of the 38H was its magazine safety. The device deactivates the gun when the magazine is removed. I absolutely despise these things myself. That's the author speaking. Remember, this was back in the early 1940s. However, the infamous SS General Sepp Dietrich was bearing a Sauer 38H when he was captured by the Allies in 1945. And so that we don't forget who SS General Sepp Dietrich was, who used the Sauer 38H, he was Hitler's chauffeur and bodyguard. And he became the commanding officer of the 6th Panzer Army during the Battle of the Bulge. And he was responsible for the Malmedy Massacre. And that was the murder of United States prisoners of war in December 1944. The Malmedy Massacre was when German soldiers killed 84 United States Army prisoners of war who had surrendered after a brief battle. From Wikipedia, quote, the Waffen-SS soldiers had grouped the U.S. POWs in a farmer's field where they used machine guns to shoot and kill the grouped POWs. The prisoners of war who survived the gunfire of the massacre were then killed with a coup de grace gunshot to the head, unquote. And I'm sure many of us have seen that reenacted in various movies. There's more to this story, a Shooter's Corner program in itself, but the point is that this is one of the guns that carried by a Waffen-SS commanding officer, Joseph Sepp Dietrich. And Dietrich was convicted of war crimes at the Malmedy Massacre trial, which was a U.S. military tribunal. He was eventually released from a U.S. prison, and he died in 1966. So let's move on to the Browning Triple Safety, known as the Model 1922. It was called a triple safety because it had three separate safety mechanisms. The gun had an automatic grip safety, a magazine safety, and a manual safety lever on the outside of the gun. It used a 9-round single-stack box magazine. Quote, an evolutionary development of the previous Model 1910 and Model 1922 was a product of the fertile mind of John Moses Browning and was produced at the FN plant in Belgium. However, once the Germans overran the facility, they continued production for their own war machine. Nazi Model 1922 pistols saw extensive service with all branches of the German military and bore the proof marks of the German Army Weapons Agency, unquote. The author, Will Dabbs, has a section titled Pistol Clutter, and he says that the Germans, quote, never did have enough pistols to go around and used a wide variety of disparate guns as a result, unquote. And we're more familiar with the 9mm Parabellum and the Walther P38, which were the most widely used German handguns. And some of the lesser known guns he lists are examples of are the Polish Random, the Belgian High Power, German commercial pistols like the Mauser 1910 and 1914, the C96 broom handle, and the J.P. Sauer 1913. And the shape of the grip earned the Mauser C96 its nickname, the broom handle, in the English-speaking world because of its round wooden handle. And I'm not sure why the author thought these Mauser broom handles were lesser-known guns, because over 1,100,000 were manufactured, and they were made in different configurations from 1896 through 1937. And a humorous story about the Mauser C96 is that it was used in the Irish Civil War. And the gun was nicknamed Peter the Painter after the contemporary London gangster of that nickname, who was believed to use one because the pistol grip looked like a paintbrush handle. Okay, got a little off the subject on that one. Now, Debs talks a bit about ammunition for German semi-automatic pistols during the war, and he thinks of greater interest than all the different designs of the pistols the Germans used is the curious cartridge they fired. And he goes on to say, quote, while the 9mm Parabellum has proven itself in more than a century of armed conflict, the diminutive 32 ACP was an odd choice. Designed by John Browning in 1899 to feed his then revolutionary 1900 pistol, the 32 ACP, that's called automatic Colt pistol for those who don't know, typically pushed a 73-grain bullet to about 980 feet per second. This is the sort of round that will certainly kill you, but as the author says, it might take a week or so to do the deed, unquote. And Deb's final observation is that the Germans might have appreciated something we did not. He notes that, quote, wars are not won by handguns. Truth be known, wars are not typically won by tanks, rifles, or submarines either. Wars are won with trucks, and the Allies had a veritable limitless supply of them, unquote. Deb writes that the Germans viewed their pistols as more badges of rank than combat instruments. Quote, that made the humble handgun, in all its many splendored guises, a bit of a footnote to the overarching saga that was World War II, unquote. Let's see. Let me move on here. Let's talk about workplace security, employers, and guns. So how many of our listeners work for employers who do not allow firearms in their place of business? In other words, you have no way to protect yourself. And perhaps if you do carry without it being a company policy, if you used your gun or someone found out you had it, you could be fired. And those of you who work for an employer who does not allow you to carry concealed or have protection at work, has that employer otherwise arranged for you to have security at the workplace? In other words, if you can't protect yourself, does the company hire guards? Or are there strongly safe procedures with locking doors and restricting access to the building? And what about the parking lot? Do you have to walk to your car all winter in the dark or not brightly lit areas without carrying protection? Now, I have always been annoyed at the policy at the Fish and Game Range where we who teach there cannot carry concealed into the building. The public who shoots there is not allowed to carry concealed into the building either. But during public shooting hours, the front desk is open and one or more employees are watching over the foyer area, and they can lock the front door if need be, or activate the building alarm, or summon law enforcement. But for those of us who teach, we're often at the range early and unloading our vehicles from a deserted parking lot. And we often teach during non-public shooting hours where the front desk is closed. And though we can lock the doors while we're there in the classroom, it makes it difficult for students to take breaks outdoors or get to their vehicles in and out if they need to without having someone watch the door and let them back in. And even our youth program hours pose a bit of a dilemma, as we do need to keep the front doors open so kids can come in if they're late. And after classes, the kids often walk outside for a moment to check if their parents are in the parking lot yet or not to pick them up. So the door is unlocked, and if we're following the rules, instructors do not have firearms on them. Now, recently, I came across an article in the NRA Women by Samantha Mann titled Workplace Security and Employers Who Prohibit Guns. And the subtitle is Workplace Security is Just as Important as Home Defense. And if you think about it, that is true. We talk about this in the classes that I teach, and I'm sure you would agree that many of us spend a lot of time thinking how to be safe in our homes and how to make our homes safer. And we take measures to make sure we have access to our home protection firearms. And we decide how best to secure our windows, our doors, where our safe rooms are. And if we have kids, we explain the procedures they should follow. And this all gives us peace of mind in our homes. But many of us spend half our working lives at work. And why should we not have that same peace of mind at our workplace? And the author of the article, Samantha Mann, is a West Virginia licensed psychologist, licensed professional counselor, and a nationally certified counselor. And we're going to go to break now, and I will finish this up right afterwards.
Enough winters in Alaska, you learn about keeping up with your vehicle's maintenance. Let Rogers Auto Repair help. From tune-ups to winterizing, Rogers is your complete auto shop. Even engine and transmission rebuilds are done right there. They're still helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. Family-owned and operated, Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665. Be their next satisfied customer. Rogers Auto Repair.
While you're out enjoying the beautiful colors of the changing seasons, you know it's coming. A few crisp mornings, then boom! Oh yeah, winter never asks permission to sneak in a hard frost. Have you winterized your RV yet? Schedule it now with Arctic RV for their complete winterization package. Your RV is protected all season long for peace of mind and no unnecessary spring repairs. Prices start at only $125. At 30th and Pegger, rough it in style, Arctic RV.
Hey, it's Steve from Auto Trim Design here. The termination dust is in the hills and soon will again become the great frozen north. Is your rig ready for 40 below? Auto Trim Design can help you survive with heated seats to warm your buns, running boards to save your shins, auto starts for automatic and manual transmission vehicles. So see us today at Auto Trim Design, Fairbanks Auto Start Specialist for over three decades.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Weather brought to you by the Great Harvest Bread Company, your local bakery cafe in the Bentley Mall Annex on College Road. Fresh breads, treats, and great gift ideas.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy today with highs around 41. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow tonight. Lows dip down to about 29. Cloudy skies expected. Snow likely again tomorrow, 36. Cloudy skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow tonight through Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 29 degrees.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255-458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? Okay, we are talking about having guns in the workplace and the possibility of your employer not wanting you to have one. So here's a quote from Samantha Mann, who is a licensed psychologist and professional counselor and a nationally certified counselor. quote, "If a criminal with evil intent visited my workplace, there are no measures in place that could stop someone determined to cause harm. My employer does not permit me to carry a gun or a knife in my office. If I did, I would risk termination. It is an uncomfortable position to have to surrender some of my ability to defend myself to a company that doesn't do much to keep me safe," unquote. And the author attended a workshop led by Nikki Burgett. And Burgett is a behavioral threat assessment specialist. And the article states she has worked with law enforcement, military, and private security to provide training and threat assessments. If you Google Nikki Burgett, you will find her website, nikkiburgett.com, and she does behavioral threat assessment. Her website says, quote, "Using her background in behavioral sciences and law enforcement, Nikki Burgett works with organizations and individuals to identify threats, collect data, determine threat level, and mitigate impact of said threats," unquote. And this sounds very similar to some of the work that Gavin DeBecker's firm does. He's the one who wrote Gift of Fear. Now, the author spoke with Burgett about her concerns with her own workplace where employees could not defend themselves. And one thing I learned that I didn't think about is that workplace violence goes beyond the workplace and into the community. A quote from Burgett: "An act of violence is likely to not only affect the victim, but his family, his community, and those who witness the violence, and even those who work with the victim to aid in his recovery," unquote. The author writes that as a psychologist, she has seen how trauma, be it murder or other negative incident, can affect an entire community. And think about our own community. This summer, we had those horrible fires set in the Two Rivers area, and once the pattern was discernible and it was clear that it was likely an arsonist setting those fires, the entire Two Rivers community felt the anxiety. And it wasn't just Two Rivers. I would say that many in Fairbanks felt that anxiety about the fires. And I lived towards the university area and decided this would be a good summer to put up some game cameras. And it was the arsons that prompted me to get going on that. The game cameras are now just another level of my home security and self-defense plan. But how do you get your employer to take measures to make sure you and other employees are safe if you can't carry firearms for protection and there's no on-site security? Well, the author points out that she has taken self-defense classes and practices what she's learned, but she spends 40 hours a week at her workplace, and there's no security plan. There can be no peace of mind in that situation. So for those of you without the ability to protect yourselves in the workplace, here is a quote from the article. Quote, "Don't accept the weak excuse that violence has never happened here as a reason to ignore the possibility that it might. That's the equivalent to saying you don't need to take your security in your home seriously because no one has ever broken in." Burgett says she has had this discussion with many employers and uses examples of businesses that were held liable for incidents as incentive to get employers to take security more seriously, unquote. Now, the article suggests that if you talk to your employer about workplace security, to remind them that employee productivity improves when security is in place. And the author worked at a psychiatric facility and says, quote, "When I worked at an inpatient psychiatric facility, locked doors at the entrance kept out possible threats, and locked doors on the units contained possible threats. Employees carried keys, which made me feel more secure because I could let myself in and out of doors to get away from threats if necessary. I felt even more secure with manned clerical and nursing desks on each hallway. Having these measures in place and training on security and safety helped me to remain productive." Now, I would like to add something to that. And it's nice when employees have the ability to secure their doors against a threat, or if they have front desk staff to help them with keep unauthorized persons from entering, or maybe a camera monitoring system. But to me, there's nothing more comforting than knowing I have my gun with me. And if employers are apprehensive about all employees, or perhaps just certain employees in front office positions carrying guns, then maybe the employees should take it upon themselves to find out what professional firearm training there is in Fairbanks. And I teach the Alaska Concealed Handgun classes at the Fish and Game Range. Chuck Indoridan also teaches Alaska Concealed Handgun classes in Fairbanks. Chuck goes beyond what I do. And I often recommend my students further their skills by taking Chuck's Defensive Handgun Level 1 and 2 classes. Now, Chuck Indereeden has the knowledge and skills to assess a workplace and provide recommendations and training to employees who need it. And you should not have to work in an environment where you feel unsafe in any way. So talk to your employer and ask them to retain a reputable trainer to make building security recommendations and train employees to protect themselves, especially with firearms. If the employer says it's an insurance issue, ask them to double check with their insurance company. I've read that nowadays workplace insurance often accommodates workplace violence training and training of employees. And maybe if you're willing to take a chance, ask your employer if they have a protection routine planned out in their own homes and if they have a firearm for home self-protection. And if they do, why would they not allow that in the workplace so their employees could have that same peace of mind? Okay, I have about 7 minutes, so I want to talk about the Winchester USA Valor series. Have any of our listeners seen the red, white, and blue boxes? They're white boxes, and they have red and blue printing, Winchester ammunition with the USA Valor series label on them. If you do see those boxes of Winchester USA Valor ammunition for rifle, pistol, and shotguns, a portion of the money you spend to buy that box of ammo goes to a good cause. Google USA Valor Winchester Ammunition to learn more about Winchester's program. Their splash page reads, "Celebrating U.S. Freedom, Supporting U.S. Veterans." With the USA Valor Ammunition Series, Winchester celebrates its commitment to American freedom with a limited edition collection of military-inspired ammunition. Winchester is the largest small caliber enterprise in the world and remains steadfast in its support of the U.S. warfighter and U.S. veteran. We're proud to say that every purchase of Winchester USA Valor Ammunition helps support the Folds of Honor, unquote. Now, the handgun ammunition is 9mm NATO 124 grain full metal jacket, 200 rounds per box. The rifle ammunition is 5 56mm 62 grains full metal jacket green tip with 125 rounds per box. And the shot shells are 12 gauge 2¾-inch double aught buckshot with 25 rounds per box. And after looking at the program on the Winchester website, I headed over to foldsofhonor.org website. And this group provides education scholarships to the spouses and children of our fallen and disabled service members. And here's a quote: "Honor their sacrifice, educate their legacy. It began with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney's flight home from his second tour of duty in Iraq. An F-16 fighter pilot in the Oklahoma Air National Guard, he became painfully aware of the realities families face when a loved one in uniform is fallen or disabled. As his flight landed, the pilot announced they carried the remains of Corporal Brock Buckland on board. Lieutenant Colonel Rooney watched as Corporal Buckland's twin brother walked somberly alongside the flag-covered casket to meet his family on the tarmac." Okay, I'm going to stop here, and we're going to take a phone call. Caller, you're on the line.
Hi, Laura. This is Don.
Hi, Don.
I just make this real quick. I have two comments.
Yes.
First one, about the shooting benches at the Cushman Range.
Yes.
None of them fit me.
Okay. I'm not the only one.
Yeah, and I know I'm taller than you are, and they don't work for me either.
Yeah.
And my best advice for people that want to shoot out there is if you have the vehicle and the means, buy your own shooting bench, a portable shooting bench, and use that instead. It'll be so much easier.
Good. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one. I didn't want to complain,
yeah.
But okay, great.
And also, having worked for a local entity that prohibits firearms for their employees,
uh-huh.
I've heard that insurance excuse before. And they kind of use it like a shield. It's like, well, if we just throw it out there, their insurance would be too expensive. They'll just back off. So
yeah.
It's a common thing.
It's a common thing. Well, thank you for calling in. And we're going to be teaching soon together. So
you betcha.
Another 2 weeks, we'll have our kids' program start. Okay.
All right,
thanks,
Let
Don.
Let you go. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, I was just finishing. I might have to finish this up next week because I think it's an emotional type of story. But Lieutenant Colonel Rooney was waiting on the plane to disembark while Corporal Buckland's twin brother walked somberly alongside the casket, the flag cover casket, to meet his family on the tarmac. And among the people waiting for the deceased was the corporal's young son, Jacob. And since that night, Lieutenant Colonel Rooney has committed his life through the folds of honor to provide scholarships to spouses and children of America's fallen and disabled service members. Jacob Buckland became the first Folds of Honor scholarship recipient in 2007, unquote. And a more granular explanation comes from Lieutenant Colonel Rooney himself, as published in a Fox News article, October 10, 2019. And here's the, Air Force Lieutenant Colonel started Veterans Charity after witnessing disrespect for fallen hero. And in that article, he says, "I was living a very myopic life when God intervened and said, hey, I've got a different plan. The captain comes over the PA and makes an announcement. He says, ladies and gentlemen, we have an American hero on board. The captain continues his announcement very emotionally and says, we're carrying the remains of Corporal Brock Buckland on this flight, who has been killed in Iraq, and his identical twin brother, Corporal Brad Buckland, is first in class." And you know what? I'm going to finish this next week because I think it makes an important point, and it's a very important program to fund the education for these children and wives of our fallen and servicemen. So I will see you all next week, and take a stool or chair with you when you go out to the Cushman Range.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.